Okay, I've started the recording and I'm also going to mute or pause my video, and that might help too. So let me just see here. Okay, so welcome everybody. I will use the chat. I can see everyone's got access to the computer, so I'm going to use the chat in the computer setting. And I'd like to welcome all of you to our second conference call for PM 101 Promote Recreation. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Little Sam and Carmack First Nation. So I'm going to pop into the chat the link to the presentation. So I won't share my screen today just because of some of the internet difficulties that I'm having. But hopefully you can open those files so we can work through them together. So just confirming, I see on the call, I know Kumanopic joined the call, and then we had Igor join the call, and Gian, and Nikki, and I believe Juliana, you're on the call now too, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. And then there's myself and also Melanie here. So I will share my screen in a moment so that you can see who Melanie is, because she will be joining us. So thank you. So for today's call, this is our second one in our first advanced learning event. And last week, we chatted about the first three steps of a promotional activity. You probably remember we did the why, the what, and the who. And you can find that on one of the earlier slides. So it will be on slide, if you've got it open, the why, the who, and the what is on slide 7. And then you worked through that, and you also shared some of your analysis of the campaign, or what the campaign that you looked at with informational messaging and motivating messages. So thank you very much for doing that. Okay. So this week, what we're going to do, or at least on today's call, I'd like to start with a quick round of introductions. I think you're starting to get to know each other. So we'll do a faster round of introductions. Just, hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is my role, and this is the community that I'm from. And then once we've introduced ourselves, we'll get into a little bit of content, and we'll share some ideas around a variety of different questions that I posted on this slide. So hopefully that works for you. If you're having challenges, it's probably my end, just a reminder. So just pop in the chat if you're having challenges. I don't think it's you, Igor. I think it's me today. So I saw that. So let's do a round of introductions. We're going to start with Kumanopic, and then we'll go to Igor, Deanne, Nikki, Juliana, and then come back to myself and Melanie. So again, just who you are, where you are, and what your role is. So, Kumanopic, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself? Okay, Kumanopic, it's really hard to hear you today, so I don't know if you want to pop in the chat. We can see your first name, but maybe your community and your role. That would be great. Igor, let's try unmuting you, and I will mute myself while you unmute, and then just maybe share again your name, your role, and your community. So go for it.
Guys, everyone, can you hear me? So my name is Igor, I live in Carita, and I'm the recreational director.
That's great, thanks Igor. And I think maybe you and I sometime will have a little, we'll test this out and figure out what's going on with our connections. So let's chat after the call then about that maybe and see, because it's still a little odd, but it could be me today. So thanks for experimenting with new ways of connecting. Over to you, Gian, and it looks like you've got a nice clear connection.
I got it clear, yeah. Hi everyone, good morning. My name is Janinda Jan. I'm working here as a squash pro. Thank you.
And Deanne's in Whitehorse, so based out of Whitehorse. Thanks, Deanne. And over to you, Nikki. I just have a rotating wheel where your picture would be, but if you'd like to unmute and just introduce yourself, that would be great.
My name's Nikki. I'm the recreation coordinator in Saint Paul, Manitoba.
Awesome. Well, welcome again. Thank you for joining us. And I'm sorry I can't see pictures today, but next week will be better. So, and then over to you, Juliana.
Hi, my name is Juliana, and I'm working with the Recreation and Coalition Initiative in the hamlet of Cambridge Bay, Nunavut.
Awesome. Welcome, Juliana. It sounds like you've got a cold on the go today, so if you feel like you need to pop in the chat instead, you can find that on the computer screen. It won't work from your phone unless you're in the Moodle app or unless you're in the conferencing app. Sorry, I'm not in the other chat.
I'm on a phone.
So thank you, everyone.
My internet is not working as well to connect to the chat, but I'm trying to. So thank you.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, that's okay. No worries, but thank you for joining us today. And so as you guys can see, Kanupik is the new acting director for the municipality of Iqaluit. And congratulations on your promotion there, Kanupik. That's really exciting. And if you stand up, you guys can see he's got a Blue Jays shirt on because there's lots of support from the Jays Foundation, right? Kanupik across all three territories. And there's, if anyone's interested, CPRA, the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, just posted a new funding opportunity through the Blue Jays Foundation. So they've done a lot of support in Nunavut. So thank you. And I just would like to invite Melanie to introduce herself.
I'm Melanie Vogel from Watson Lake. I'm the rec director, in Watson Lake.
That's great. And Watson Lake's in the southeast Yukon. So that's why Melanie and I are here at the recreation gathering, the Yukon one. So thanks for joining us, everybody. And let's jump into some of our topics for today. So on last week's call, again, we chatted about the first three steps of a promotional activity, the why, the what, and the who. We also talked about how you need to, in your promotions, motivate and inform. And I think that was a little bit of an aha moment for some of you, because in your posts, you really recognized that it's not just telling people what we're doing and when it's happening and that they should be there, but you're sort of tugging at their heartstrings or convincing them why it's important for them to participate. And I really appreciated the posts that some of you have done about those campaigns. It's quite interesting that three or four of you looked at the Healthy by Nature, and you all had a slightly different take on it. So it's interesting to think that based on where we are, we might see some of those messages differently. And that applies to our age and our interest in everything. So you can see why it's really important to share sort of the why people should participate. Hopefully you all had a chance to watch that Simon Sinek's TED Talk. I know, Kanupik, you introduced a quote from it last week, and it's just a really good TED Talk about why we should be using the why, not just the what. So there's quite a bit of content for this week. Again, this is our advanced learning event. So in our advanced learning events, I usually have a little bit more packed into them. So this week, we're going to look at the how, the where, and the when of promotions. And I might ask you to also, during the second half of the call, share some ideas about good practices for social media in our really small communities. Because what people do for social media in a big urban center might be very different than what you do. And if we have time, we'll also touch on privacy too. So we've done a quick round of introductions, and I just would like to ask you, you can answer this in the chat, or we'll go around the circle just in the same order until I get the hang of it. So Igor, it may work better for you to pop it in the chat, but I'll also mute so that you don't get quite the same feedback. So Here's a question for you right now. This is a quick touch-in. So if you think about it, what's the number one tool for promotion that you in your community? So if you could only use one tool for promoting what you do in recreation, what would it be and why? And I'm going to put Kumanopic, why don't you pop that in the chat, what you think, and then we're going to go to Igor, Deanne, Nikki, Juliana, and I'll invite Melanie if she wants to answer that, to answer that as well. And just to give you a second to think about, I'll give you an example. So I've lived in Watson Lake, which is where Melanie is a rec director for. And I would say that the best tool in small communities is still word of mouth, because when people are excited or interested in something, they talk about it. And when they don't like what you're doing and they're not happy about it, they talk about it too. So word of mouth can be really good for promotion, but it also can be really challenging. So Kumanopic has put in Facebook, and I've heard that about Nunavut a lot, that Facebook and social media is a really great way to reach your community. So thank you, Kumanopic. Igor, how about in Toledo? What would be the number one tool if you could only use one tool?
Can you hear me now even better than previously? Okay, so my phone is muted now, my computer is on, I can continue like this, okay? So I would say, as you mentioned, the word of mouth, I think in the small community, that's the best to promote our activities. I would say, if this doesn't exist, that I would say that ads also work good in Chulita, because we have a store here, Northern Store, and putting flyers there or some other promotional material can be very efficient. I agree with Kumanopic, sorry about my pronunciation. I think Facebook is great, but I believe Facebook is more for the younger generation, while we want to include everyone, including elders. So I think, the first one is word of mouth. The second one is putting our promotional materials in the store. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Igor. That was way clearer. So you could probably disconnect your phone, I think, because I heard you loud and clear. Thank you. Let's go to Guillaume. So, Guillaume, you're in a different environment in Whitehorse and working with a sports organization. What's the number one promotional tool for you that you would use?
For all my tournaments and activities, I'm using Instagram is the most prominent one. So Instagram and the Facebook, they go hand to hand, right? If anything you post on the Instagram, it goes on the Facebook, and it goes vice versa. That's our first tool, to get promote our any activity or any program. That's what I'm using right now. Yeah, definitely afterwards, the posters and the website and all. Yeah.
Okay, and hopefully by the end of today, we'll get to talk a bit about Instagram, because it's based around photos, right? So then there's some rules about using people's photos on social media and stuff. So thank you for pointing that one out. Nikki, for your community, what would you say is the number one promotional tool? If you could only use one tool, and why would that be?
Number one tool around here is definitely Facebook. Even a lot of our seniors are actually on Facebook. They're on there more than our younger generation around here. But we do pretty much everything, Facebook, Instagram, posters, but word of mouth definitely gets around, especially when we do something wrong. They definitely let us know.
Yeah, it's tough when you do something wrong, but it's neat to hear about the seniors on Facebook. I know my kids who are in their 20s said younger people were leaving Facebook because all the old people were on it. That's not maybe the right thing to say, but that's thanks for sharing that, Nikki. Juliana, how about yourself, thinking of your experiences in Cambridge Bay, what would be the number one tool to promote recreation there?
Cambridge Bay is the same thing, the number one. So we tried with the posters, the word of mouth, website, but it's Facebook still the number one tool.
That's great. It's interesting, hey, how, like, I've heard that about all of Nunavut is that Facebook is very prominent across Nunavut, whereas in the Yukon, I think it's a variety of things. So differences between our territories and our different communities and, you know, Nikki's in northern Manitoba, so in Flin Flon. So, yeah, great. Okay, and Melanie, how about yourself? If you can think of Watson Lake, is there a one promotional tool you would use?
Actually, we are using several. So Facebook, like everyone else does, and for us, it's also not just the younger generation, rather the older generation that is on Facebook. It's kind of a mix. And we do have our own Facebook page, but we also do have a Facebook group that is called Watson Lake Sunshine, so everyone can post their stuff in there. And this is the most read group that we have. Our page is not visited as much, so I always cross-post in this group and on our page. And I do also create posters that I hang in the recreation center and at the local food store, at the bank, at all these places where people do business. And another tool that I'm using, but we haven't mentioned yet, is an email list. Like, I have an email list from community partners, like, let's say, our seniors group or the schools. So I'm sending this there to the leaders of these groups so they can post the poster or they are informed, like, at the next meeting, they can announce what's going on. Yeah.
That's great. So we've got kind of a range of things that you do use, which is nice because, as most of you have said, not everything works 100%. Definitely sounds like Facebook is at the top, and maybe not your own Facebook page, but as Melanie pointed out, maybe a page that somebody is a community-wide page or something like that. So thank you for that. So I'm going to start. I'm not going to share my slides today, my presentation today, just because I'm worried that it's going to tax my internet. But I invite you to take a look at the presentation slides, and we're going to start with number 20. So number 20 says that once you've figured out the purpose or the why for your promotion, you want to identify what it is that you're going to promote and to whom. Then you want to put these things into action. So to put it into action, you need to figure out how. So how are you going to create materials? Is it Facebook, posters, word of mouth? How will the tools reflect your message and your branding? So we talked a lot last week. I really remembered what Nikki said about people wanting to get outdoors. So if that's an important piece of who you are, how do you reflect that in your branding? Another thing is how much does it cost? If you're drawing your posters by hand, that's one thing. But if you're sending them to the printers to print off, there's a cost with that. Perhaps that's why people tend to use Facebook. Then you want to look at where you're going to put your promotional materials. So I've heard businesses, grocery stores, and on social media are different places or examples of where. And then when as well, when they start and when they end and what the frequency is. So if you go to slide 21, it shows that you have to put this all together with your messages, your branding, and your choice of tools. So that's a little bit about the how. Slides 22 and 23 give a bit more information about how you can shape your key messages. So remember, you want to inform people about the characteristics of your program or your event or your service that you're offering. So what is it? When does it happen? Who can join in? How much does it cost? How do I register? Those are those informational pieces that we talked about. But then you also want to make sure that your messages motivate, and we did, again, talk about this last week. So why should people act on what you're doing? Why should they come out? Why should they join? Why should they be part of your tournament or come to your Halloween bonfire? So the messages should also include that motivational piece. And then if you move on to slide 24, you'll see it talks about branding. So branding is like a personality. So, you know, branding is about how you look, how what other people think about you. It's kind of like that look and feel. So the examples that are on slide 24 are from the Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut. So I thought they had some kind of cool branding design. But if you look around your community, and Nikki, I still remember you have your Tim Hortons and Flin Flon is in your gas station, but you know, like Tim Hortons has a brand that everybody recognizes. So for recreation, you want people to sort of recognize and feel like they belong or are part of what you are through your branding. So slide 25 tells you that you can how to develop your brand, reinforcing it with colors, logos, fonts, things like that, and being consistent when you use it. So don't change it so much that people see something from you and are like, who put that out? You want to find something that's strong and shares your message and shares an image and then keep it that way. So I have a couple of quick questions. I just want to ask a round of questions about branding. And the first one, you can just say the answer quickly. So we'll do two questions one at a time. My first question to you is I just would like to know if you in your organization or your community, if you guys have a distinct brand that you portray or show in all of your promotions. So this time I'm going to skip two people ahead, and I'm going to start our circle with Deanne. Go to Nikki, Juliana, Melanie, Kimnopic, and then Igor. So just a yes, no, kind of, or I don't know answer. So Deanne, does Squash Yukon have a brand?
We are trying to promote our brand as Squash Yukon, and we do run a small pro shop, and we are trying to promote that, and we got lots of swag, you know, branded with the Squash Yukon logo, with like the toque, the goggles for the kids, the rackets and the balls, different kind of the balls, and different kind of clothing material, like the swags we are having, jackets and all. So we are really into promoting our making and promoting our squash brand.
Awesome. That's great. Swag is a really fun. People love swag, so good way to promote your brand. Thank you. Nikki, how about yourself? Do you have kind of a brand that people associate with your recreation department?
We do. It's called the City of Flin Flon Water in the Wild, and we have lots of swag also. Clothing, everything. People love it.
And so water and wild is kind of your theme. Do you have like colors and logos and things that go along with that?
Yeah, I guess water and the wild is the actual logo. I would turn my camera, but it'd be a pain. We focus on like dark blue, teal, like between water and forest type colors.
That's great. Would you mind, like, you don't have to share it now, but it would be great to see it in a post just to into the forum for this week, number 6 forum, just to share that just so we can all have a look. This is really helpful to sort of associate that with what we've heard. So thank you. Juliana, how about recreation in Cambridge Bay? Was there any sort of brand that you had that you used in all your promotional materials?
We don't actually. We have specific for events or activities, but in general for the rec department, we don't. But that would be a good idea to be working on Sophie.
Okay, so you don't really have anything that stands out, maybe a broader, the Hamlet of Cambridge Bay branding?
Usually we get the main colors, blue and yellow, but for the whole Department of Health Living or the Hamlet posters or promotional materials, but we don't have a specific brand or logo just for the rec department.
Great, thank you very much. Melanie, do you have any branding for the Tanawatson Lake Recreation Department?
We don't really have branding there, and not as colors or fonts. So all I'm using for now is the logo, and I make sure that the logo is always visible, either on the top or at the bottom. So that's basically all we do for now. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing that, Nikki. I love the sort of the FLFL really flows just like the water in the wild. So that's a nice logo and a nice slogan. If you're in the chat, you can see that Nikki popped that in the chat for us to have a look at. So thank you. Kumnafik, my circle sort of, oh, there's yours. Okay, so you've got the hamlet of Iglulik. That's great. So that you've got a logo that you use on all your branding. Thank you very much. Igor, how about, do you have any branding that that you use?
Actually, we use only the Hamlet logo, and I try to be as short and concise as possible just to provide that basic information without putting so much attention into it, because some people can get that, can get confused easily. So, but rather than the Hamlet logo, nothing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing. It's interesting to see the different stages that different people are at. And I think sometimes when you're a nonprofit organization, it might be more imperative or more essential to have a brand as compared to if you're working for a hamlet or a municipality. But it's always nice to have something because then you can see things on that. I've got one more quick question, and it comes back to the concept of messages that inform and messages that motivate. And I'm just going to pop the question in the chat, and I'll start with Nikki because, Nikki, you already have your message, so you can use the same one. Or is there another motivating message that you've come up with since we talked about it last week, or do you think you would still just stick with water and wild because that's what everybody recognizes?
I stick with water and wild just because I have to. It's above me, and that's just what we have to put out there. But we try to, I don't have anything new, but we're still working on it. Me and my partner are trying to think of catchy lines for food events and the children events.
Oh, that's a great idea. So you've got the overarching sort of branding, water and wild, and then underneath it for different program steps or activities, you might have different themes that would really motivate people to participate. So I think that's what you're explaining. So that's great. Thank you. Melanie, I won't put you on the spot because you can answer that later on. And Kumnafik, I don't know if you're, I see you're typing, so maybe we'll see what pops up. Igor, have you come up with any other catchy sort of motivational phrases since thinking about this last week?
I usually don't think about them. I usually, when I go to bed or when I take a shower, then it comes up a little bit, and if I don't write them down, then they're gone.
Okay, I understand that. Thank you. Yeah, it's like when you least expect it, you're really creative, and then it's like, oh, what was that again? Thank you. Deanne, have you had any sort of motivating phrases that you remember or ones that you might want to use since we talked about this last week?
We do often use the all level of play are welcome. That's our like tagline or the motivational line we go with. And I totally agree with Igor. Like, yeah, whenever you're in the wash, like, you know, taking shower or anything, all the good thoughts come in, and yeah. Thank you.
And Nikki, I think both are the same thing. It's right before you fall asleep, and then you're too tired to get out of bed and write it down or something like that. And then it's like, what was that again? So, yeah, sometimes our brains are creative when not at the right time. So that's interesting. So promotions does take a bit of work, and it's something that kind of flows in and out of work time, I guess. So we're going to take a few minutes now to consider how we use tools when we promote recreation. So this is starting on slide 26. And if you think about, and Kumnafik, I'll just come back. So yeah, have you eaten? That's really important for the soup kitchen and colorful promotions for the kids. Thank you. And I think it sounds like your soup kitchen is a really big program in your community. So very important to motivate people, but also for people to feel that they are welcome and not that Every second day, that's great. Thank you. So if you think about the word tool by itself, you know, and when think about what a tool is, and slide 26 suggests that tools help us do something. So a hammer helps us put a nail into a board, and in promotion, we choose a tool to help us get our message out. So if you hear the word promotional tools, that's what we're sort of referring to. In our field, as you can see on slide 27, there's many different types of tools, and you just mentioned some of these at the beginning of this call. And I split these into two categories, kind of the tried and tested, and then the technology ones. So I think of the tried and tested ones as things that we did before we had technology. So posters, brochures, bulletin boards. Some people use coupons or discounts, open house, swag. Gian mentioned swag. And technology tools are things like our website, Facebook. YouTube is something I'm experimenting with a little bit more. TikTok I stay clear of because that's one more thing to learn. And then, as you know, Twitter is now rebranded as X, which is, to me, is kind of odd. But anyways, so there's a range of different types of tools. And if you took a look at Activity 4 in the learning event, it gave you more detail and more information on these two categories and also some additional detail about social media. So it's a really good activity if you haven't done Activity 4 yet to do it before you do your next required learning activity. And the key thing is when you choose a tool, be sure to know who your audience is or your target group and be really clear on the messages you want to share. And then decide what type of tool you'll use and when. So location and timing, as slides 28 and 29 explain, can really make a difference in the success of your promotion. So if you only put posters up at the, like in our community, where some of the communities like have a post office and you miss the grocery store, you might miss people who never go pick up their mail or something like that. You know, if you're targeting kids and families, sending things home through school can be good, but kids don't always take them home. So there's different ways when you think of location. And timing, too, can make a difference. So if you put things up, at least in my experience, too far in advance, people forget about it. And if you leave it till the last minute, they might have other plans. So being able to schedule things and know when you're going to do your promotion is really important. So I'd like to take a few minutes. We've got about 20 minutes left in our call. So I'd like to take about 10 minutes, and we're going to use a combination of talking and the chat, and I'm going to record what it is. And there's quite a bit of content in Activity 4 about social media. But I'd like to explore what you think are good practices for social media in our very small rural and remote communities, because what our good practices are might be different to good practices like down south or somewhere else. And I'm going to create, from this part of our conversation, I'm going to create a tip sheet for you that you can use as a resource moving forward when you're using social media. So here's my question. Let me pop the question in the chat. And this time I'm going to, let's start with Igor this time. I'm mixing up our circle order. So we're going to go from Igor to Gian, to Nikki, to Juliana, to Melanie, if you'd like to jump in, and then to Kunapis. So you can answer this question in the chat. You can pop an answer in the chat, or you can also share that out. So in 30 seconds or less, what are one or two things that are good practices for social media in your community? So, Igor, I know you said that you don't always use social media, but if you do, what's a good practice for social media in your community?
Thank you. I definitely use social media. Pretty much Facebook, because people here are mostly familiar with Facebook. I would say good practices are always to be careful what we post, because one word not as good place could offend some of the audience practically. So we always have to be careful what we put there, what we post. I would also mention as good practice, also if I'm taking pictures of a community event, I always ask those people for their permission to put their pictures on the website. By doing that, I think it's a good practice for them to give us permission before they found out that we put their picture without any permission of that. So I would say that that's what I'm thinking right of now. And if something comes up, I will join later again.
That's great. Thanks so much, Igor. Gian, for social media that you use, and you mentioned Instagram, what are one or two good practices for the use of Instagram?
So definitely, whenever we go on the social media, we have to get those good signs, the waiver signs from all the participants, and taking permission about what picture and what are the posts and what are the messages we want to relay in our audiences. And definitely Instagram or like any social media platform is a great way to relay your message, because you can show the real picture, what you're going to do, what you're looking for, and what your audiences, they wanted. And another point out, like on the Instagram or on the Facebook, the good thing is you can see the thing in the future also, right? Like it become a gallery for you, for your audiences. They can go on your page, and then from there they can look, other events and what are the pictures, the videos, or whatever the message is there is going to stay forever. Yeah.
That's great. And it's also important to know that what you put out there is out there forever too. Really important to keep that in mind, so that coming back to what Igor said, you're careful about what you are putting on social media. Nikki, how about yourself and your community? What are one or two good practices for using social media?
I'd say the same as Igor said, making sure we have written consent before we post pictures, especially of the children at our kids' events. Parents are very particular of their kids being on social media. Rightfully so, I am as well. Also, just to make sure like our dates and times for events are exact. You double check, triple check, because our community definitely lets us hear it when we are wrong.
So really checking your accuracy of information so that you don't have to change your post and say, oops, sorry. Thanks, Nikki. Juliana, for using mostly Facebook, perhaps in Cambridge Bay, what is one or two good practices for your use of social media in Cambridge Bay?
Usually, one of the things that we're trying to do, and it's hard because when we post in advance, because we have our Hamlet page, but usually the event or activity or whatever you need to send must be shared on Cambridge Bay News. It's where people, they go to get the information they need. And because it's a lot of information all the time, if I'm posting for an event that is going to happen in 5 days, the information will easily get lost because of the amount of information that is posted there. So trying to, people that are not really used to, but lately we are trying to set up the event calendar where people, they can click and confirm that they are attending the event. So maybe they would, because for sure we send up the reminders, but it's because it's lots of information at the same time, sometimes people, they get lost. So trying to use the calendar and schedule that.
Okay, so just to make sure that that's correct, because I'm writing this down, because I'll share a tip sheet. You use the event setting in Facebook to make sure that it shows in advance, then people can like or be interested in it or say they're attending, and that gives them the information. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. That's a really good tip. Thanks so much. And Melanie, I'm just wondering if you have any practices or good practices for using social media.
We are using Facebook, and there we do, I keep the messaging short and focused and to the detail. Always put something motivational in it to really draw attention to it. I do post photos. When we take photos, we ask people for permission to post them on social media, especially when kids are involved. And I do mention the photographer who took the photos when we post them to give recognition to the photographer. And then not engage. We do sometimes have rather negative comments from someone in the community. That happens too. So occasionally I will switch off commenting, and I do not engage in any of these comments, except I may say if someone says, oh, we didn't know about this, and you know, whatever, that I may offer, like I comment always in a positive way, that I say, if you did not know about it, we invite you, we give you a free pass so you can check it out, and, you know, to keep always communication positive and neutral. And that basically is all that comes to my mind.
That's great. Thank you. Kumanovic, how about yourself? Igor, I'll come to your question in just a sec. I'll just ask Kumanovic says, updating the community weather. Yeah, so really important. You just, when, before this call started, Kumanovic told me he was due for a first aid course today, but they get a lot of weather in your communities and the people couldn't fly in. So really important to update, especially if the temperature is near your cutoff or things like that. So thanks, Kumanovic. That's great to add to that too. So if you have to change something, let people know for sure. Igor, I see you've got your hand up. Do you want to add or comment on, or did something else come to mind?
Yes, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I actually found a link very useful. I post from time to time some famous people's quotes, and I think that motivates people to start their day and to go to its fullest. For example, this morning,
is that Igor? I think you're breaking up, unless that's my end. Can you guys hear Igor okay? Just maybe Nikki and Kumanovic, put your thumb up or down.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. And Kumanovic just popped in. Yeah, we only heard about half of what you said. Can you just repeat that, do you mind? Or?
Yes, I can repeat briefly. I use famous people's quotes to start the day, and actually I found that very useful because the feedback is great. For example, this morning I posted one quote, famous Nelson Mandela quote, "A winner is a dreamer who never gives up." So those short quotes, I think they go a long way. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to add something too, is like that I'm trying to watch when I'm making my posts. So when people are mostly online, when they're like before, after dinner, and that, you know, so because you can always schedule your posts around lunchtime, and people take breaks and they're constantly on social media anyways, but there are times when people are more on social media, that's actually the time I'm trying to hit my post.
Yeah, that's great. I have two pages of notes from the things that you guys just shared. So Igor, thanks for reiterating using quotes from famous people, because then we don't have to come up with them ourselves, and people recognize that too. So and the timing is really, really important. there is some information on slide number 29 about using a platform like Hootsuite or Buffer or Sprout Social, any of those, to help schedule your social media posts. And there's different plans that you can get for those as well. So thank you for sharing that. I will, towards the end of the week, type this up and share it back with you. And you can, I'll share it as a Word document, because then what you can do is you can take out of it what you want and forget about what you don't want. And I find it's helpful sometimes just to have like a 3 to 5 point reminder of, so that I know that I'm scheduling things, that I'm focused, that I add a motivating message, and that I have permission for the picture or something like that. So just as we wrap up our call then, what I'd like to do is just take a moment to talk about privacy. And Nikki, you mentioned the importance of, especially if we're using children's photos. That's really big. Like when Facebook first came out, I don't know if people really understood the implications that, you know, those photos are around for a very long time. And even when you kind of delete them, I'm sure they're somewhere out in cyberspace. So the Explore More section in the learning event. Now, for those of you who this might be a new section to, you scroll down after week 2 and you go past the feedback, which is number 7, and Explore More is at the bottom. And the Explore More section are things that aren't mandatory, like you don't have to look at it for the learning event, but it's extra information if you're curious. So there is a link to CASEL, which is Canada's anti-spam legislation, and it just really reinforces the importance of, in any of your promotional activities, respecting people's privacy and anonymity. There's things like email lists that are guided by Canada's anti-spam legislation. So my last question, and I know we just have about 5 minutes left, so if you feel like you've already shared an answer to this, that's okay. You can just reiterate your answer or say pass. And I'll pop it in here. It's just, how do you ensure privacy in your promotional activities? So let's go in reverse order, and I'm going to ask Melanie if you wanted to answer that. I think you said something about people's submissions and photos. Is there anything else that you do with your email list that makes sure that people's privacy is respected?
In my email list, I always put the people in, what is this called, CC?
BCC.
So
BCC, blind copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put mine in the front, so I'm getting it back to myself, but everyone else is going into the blind copy. And that's one thing I do for privacy. And maybe there are certain events where photos are not permitted, like, for example, at the pool, there should be no photos be permitted. And there will also be, we won't post photos on our social media about people swimming at the pool or at the lake.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, things like that.
Great. So that those are respecting people's privacy,
yeah,
and things like that. Super. So if we're going back around our circle, that takes us to Juliana, then Nikki, then Deanne, then Igor, then Kumapik. So, Juliana, is there anything else you do to ensure privacy in your promotional activities?
I'm trying to think.
That's okay. I can come back around. Yeah. I'll come back around and see if there's anything at the end there. Nikki, is there anything else you do to ensure privacy in your promotional activities? You've mentioned photos and things like that.
When we have, for the children anyways, for any of our participation registration forms, we have a part on there that they parents have to okay if their children can be photographed or not.
Yeah, so it, and you in that photo release form, which we're actually in our next learning event, we'll get into that type of documentation, but do you let parents know where their photos might be used so that they can either agree maybe to certain things and not others?
Yeah, if you do, it's just our Facebook page is where we would post them, and then with that, they understand that others can share our posts on their Facebook also, so pretty much just Facebook for hours. And if they don't agree to it, then we put a smiley face over their child or something, so they're not okay.
Yeah, I've seen that done a lot. You sometimes end up with three or four kids with these happy faces over top. So, yeah. Great, thank you. And Deanne, how about yourself? How do you ensure privacy in your promotional activities?
So definitely what Melanie mentioned earlier about not doing so sending the emails when we are sending a group email, we do always DCC, blind, yeah. And taking permission from the parents about posting the photos or videos of the students or anyone who is not like willing to share their, you know, the photos. They don't want to be in the face of the public, so we don't do that. Yeah, that's the most important I do take care of. Yeah.
Thanks.
And definitely get the, get the sign from the parents during the registration, like taking the permission in well advance to save ourselves also, not securing the privacy, but saving ourselves also from getting it. Engage into later on, you know, different scenario or something. Thanks.
That's great. Thanks, Deanne. Igor, how about yourself? Is there anything else that you do to ensure privacy in the promotional activities that you do?
Not really. I would say I just, I would reiterate what just Nikki said, and I already talked about that. So definitely permission, consent, and we go from there.
Great, thank you. And Kumanofik, you've got permission slip for posting pictures in social media. And also, Kumanofik's pointed out that when you're hiring or getting volunteers, sometimes we forget about the people that are also doing the work for us, and they might not want their pictures in too. So it's not just that the children are very, very important, but it's also for the people that might be involved or the volunteers that you're using. So thank you for sharing that, Kumanofik. Juliana, was there anything else that came to mind while you were listening to everybody else's? Like anything else that you do to ensure privacy?
Yeah, I think yes. It was mentioned sometimes the pictures that was even volunteers or staff there involved with some activities they wanted to share mentioned their name, so we just put the recreation team or the Department of Health Liaison team or something like this. More general.
That's a really good idea. Rather than sort of naming people, just refer to them as your support or volunteers or staff or something like that. So, because not everybody likes having their name out there, you know, even if their picture is not out there. So thank you. So thanks, everybody. This wraps up our first hour of our second conference call. As you might recall, for our advanced learning events, our Wednesday calls, you have, hey, you got your certificate, Kumanofik. And I don't know if you guys can see his picture there, but he's showing you his framed certificate from his leadership. He completed the leadership certificate, so that looks really nice. Way to go. Woo-hoo! Thumbs up from all of us. Looks great. Thank you. We're going to present our UConn ones from last year tonight, so I'll share some pictures. Kumanofik, maybe you can send me a nice photo. Maybe somebody can take one, and you can send me a photo of you holding that. And you can get the J's on the side because that's good branding for them. Okay, so as you remember, for these advanced learning events, our Wednesday calls, there is an extra hour that's set aside if you want to ask me about the required learning activities, get some help, work on it, or you have any other questions. You don't have to stay on the call for the second hour. Totally optional. It's just there so that I know that if you would like that support, it's the time that's set aside. So I will take like a 2-minute break after I end the call. Yeah, send me a picture through the Moodle app. That would be great. Thanks, Kumanofik. So you've got this week, we finished up. This week we'll be finishing up PM 101, which is Promote Recreation, the learning event. Most of you have done last week's required learning activity. If you haven't, please do it. And then please take a look at Sunday's one. Doesn't have to be posted by Sunday because next week is a catch-up week And I know it's a long weekend, and in recreation, sometimes you need a break. But if you can get it posted, both of your required learning activities, before we start RM 102, which is Document Manage RIP, which begins on Monday, October 16th. So once again, next week is a catch-up week, but see if you can work through. And I really, really appreciate the way you guys are commenting and sharing ideas, because you have just as much experience and great ideas as I do. And when you share them together, our learning is like magnified. So thank you for your comments and taking the time to respond thoughtfully to each other. So if you want to stay on the call, feel free to do so. I'm going to stop the recording in a moment. And if you're not coming back for the second hour, once you've finished your required learning activities, please go to number 7 and complete the very short feedback. I have those for every learning event. You can do it quite quickly, I think, once you get used to it. So merci Cho, merci, Nakelmik, Danka. different ways of saying thank you in the language that's around in your area or community. And have a good long weekend coming up, and I look forward to chatting to you all soon. If you want to stay on the call, please do so.